forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
All right, we're back. Mike Wurzbach, the American Awakening second hour with my special guest, Jim Fetzer, talking about, well, we were talking about the History Channel hit piece, and also we're going into a little bit of alternative theories about the collapse of the buildings. And, Jim, I wanted to ask you, hypothetically speaking, let's say for the sake of discussion that, you know, Jim Miggs was right, and they would have taken months, and it would have been, they would have had to pull out concrete and all this stuff to put explosive. Let's just say for the sake of discussion that he was right for a moment. Do you think it's possible or plausible that there is indeed weaponry that we have in our possession now that would create an explosion, for example, the movie Independence Day, where they blew up that building in Los Angeles? Yeah. Do you think it's possible we have that type of weaponry right now?
Yes, I do think it is. I think we do have those weapons. You know, a Russian general, before we went into Iraq, said he thought the principal reason for going into Iraq was to allow the military-industrial complex to demonstrate its new families of weapons, because the DOD doesn't like to buy them unless they've been field-tested. We have reports coming back, some of which have been confirmed by Department of Defense officials, of vehicles, for example, just suddenly wilting like a wet washcloth, and the people just disappear, and there isn't a sound. They don't hear a bullet. They don't hear an explosion. They just disappear, and the car wilts. And it's very similar to some of these 1,400 so-called toasted cars that Judy Wood has drawn attention to, where many of them are just wilted like a wet washcloth. I mean, it's really fascinating. So I believe that that's part of what's going on there. We also have reports, you know, of people being out there, and they just disintegrate. They turn this beam on them, this new weapon, and they just disintegrate. And I believe that this is completely consistent with the research we've been doing here, and that there are whole families of these weapons, Mike. I'm convinced of it.
Okay, Jim, so in your estimation from the research that you've done, now I remember earlier on, you know, because I was at the conference with you in Los Angeles last year, and, you know, you were speaking there, and Stephen Jones was speaking, and he was talking about the thermite, which is obvious, it's evident. You can look at the evidence, what we were able to see, and see the degree, the 45-degree angles of which a lot of these beams were cut. And so I think it's proven beyond any doubt whatsoever that thermite was indeed used to bring that down. However, that does not explain the pulverizing of the concrete, the force in which they threw this stuff out. But my question to you is, from the research that you've done up to this point, Jim, would you estimate that it was a combination? Did they have explosive in the building as well as using some sort of a pulse weapon or a scalar weapon?
Yeah. Yeah, the pulsar scalar may even have been used as the trigger to detonate, you know, explosives that were already in the building. I mean, the whole idea of a controlled demolition is a demolition that is under control. It doesn't require that it be bottom up or top down or middle up, middle down. It could be arranged in a whole lot of different ways. So it was really the most superficial possible rejoinder to suggest that the Building 7 could have been brought down by controlled demolition because it was bottom-up, but not the Twin Towers, because they were something like top-down, which is a reason why I always talk about it as a special kind of controlled demolition. Mike, we have so many reports from firemen who were in the building who heard one explosion after another. You know, they just heard one explosion after another. That's very difficult to doubt that some kinds of explosives appear to have been in the building. So that, you know, that seems to be a part of it. That means that I adhere to a mixed theory of causation, that there is some combination of conventional and unconventional explosives. But let me make the additional point. If it were merely conventional explosives, you can buy products like thermite and thermate even on eBay. So it's non-particular with regard to the implication of who was responsible. But if we're talking about some kind of high-tech weapons, including lasers, masers, plasmoids, those had to come from the military-industrial complex and
right.
The Department
of
Defense.
I got to stop you, Jim. We got to go to a break, and then we get a loud segment. All right, we'll be back in three. Stick with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Long segment coming up here with my guest, Jim Fetzer. And the phone lines are open, folks. 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443 if you have a question or comment for my guest, Jim. And, Jim, you were talking about the military-industrial complex and the weaponry that they have. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was suggesting that if conventional modes of weaponry, you know, RDX, HDX, thermite, thermite, were involved here, and that's all, then that kind of stuff can be bought on eBay. I mean, anyone could have done it, so to speak. I mean, we know they had to have access to the building, and, of course, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence there that's very suggestive, and I've heard some striking stories about the preparations for the event. But if it involved unconventional weapons like lasers, masers, plasmoids, and so forth, that had to come from the military-industrial complex and is much more incriminating of the federal government to the Department of Defense than any conventional explosives would be. So I think there's an additional motive for exploring this. But the fact is we can't know how it was done unless we investigate, and you can't investigate adequately unless you take into account the full range of possible explanations, which means you have to take seriously some hypotheses, even if you think in the beginning that they're implausible or unlikely, just because you're ignorant and you just don't know enough. When I began studying the death of Senator Paul Wellstone, who died in a plane crash on the 25th of October 2002, for example, I found that the National Transportation Safety Board, while claiming to have conducted a thorough investigation, only considered accident-compatible alternatives, the plane, the pilots, the weather. They never considered the possibility a small bomb or a gas canister or some kind of high-tech weapon might have been involved. So it was just a charade for them to claim to have eliminated non-accident alternatives. They never did that. They never even considered them. Well, I don't want the 9/11 research community to commit a similar blunder.
Well, it's a good point, Jim. And, you know, I have to I'll take you back. And you know, because I met you last year. And, you know, I had recently awoken, and I had the pleasure of meeting you at this conference with Alex Jones out in Los Angeles. And at the time, you know, this experience for me, from the point of waking up and then suffering the death, if you will, crawling out from under the bed a couple of months later, has been an extreme expanse of my consciousness, because, again, I want to reiterate that I had mentioned to you, I backed off of you when I found out, when you came out and announced the theory of, you know, it's possible that there was scalar weaponry or pulse weapons or whatever used, I thought, oh, wait a minute, no, don't want to go there. But then I started realizing after a while that, wait a minute, you have to go there. Because in order to find out what really happened, you have to consider all of the possibilities. And you cannot consider all of the possibilities if you limit your mind to saying, okay, well, I can't go there because people are going to think I'm nuts if I go there. So with that, I want to say that in my experience of now being on the air here, I've had the privilege of meeting many very intelligent people. You're one of them. You're one of my mentors, if you will. You helped wake me up. You know that. And, you know, I've realized the only way for us as a human race to get to the bottom of it and to change the direction in which we head is we have to look in, we have to explore all the possibilities. And with that being said, I have to say, Jim, that, you know, as we go down the road here, and we continue to explore this. Now, you've heard this, and I know, and I wanted to get your take on this. I have heard from many different people, professional people, scientists, physicists, astronomers, astrologers, just every walk of life, that indeed the military-industrial complex as a whole is a minimum, technologically speaking, of 50 years ahead of what they tell us they are. Now, yeah, I know you've heard that. Do you buy
into
that?
Yeah, at least a couple of decades. I think that's absolutely right, Mike.
Okay, so in that, being that far ahead, then there's no doubt that they have this type of weaponry. And I remember seeing a clip where I think it was Donald Rumsfeld was being – he was at a podium with General – I can't remember the general's name. But they asked – there was a reporter that asked that very question about alternative energy or you know, a parallel universe I think they used or whatever. And I saw the reaction. I watched the reaction of Donald Rumsfeld, and I just saw this clip just about a week ago for the first time, Jim. And in seeing that clip, I realized through his body language that not only indeed did he know, but yes, they do have that type of weaponry, because he song and danced that issue all over the board and then passed the football off to this general, of which totally just shut the question down. So it's what they didn't say that led me to believe that indeed they do have the weaponry. Now, whether they used it or not on this particular building or these set of buildings, then is anybody's guess. But it's looking more and more like it wasn't just thermite and it wasn't just the building being wired with explosives. Not only that, Jim, but I want to go a step further and say I took a real close look at the damage done in the streets and, as you had mentioned, these cars that are blocks away that have been turned upside down, which would take a tremendous amount of force to do that. Now, a controlled demolition, all of the controlled demolitions in Las Vegas or Paris or Denmark or Germany or whatever, have you ever seen an indication of a controlled demolition that turned over cars?
No, I haven't, Mike. I haven't. So there are a lot of oddities, you know, with regard to the cars and the fact that the bathtub wasn't shattered. If the bathtub had been shattered, all that Hudson River water would have flooded the PATH train tunnels and the subways and undermined the foundation of major buildings in lower Manhattan. It would have been a complete catastrophe, cost hundreds of billions of dollars, and probably brought the city to a grinding halt immediately. Let me just offer you this observation. When they were bringing down the rest of Building 6, which was only 8 stories high, they used cables to pull it down, and they said they were doing that because they didn't want to damage the bathtub. Well, they're just talking about the side of an 8-story building versus 210-story buildings that weighed 500,000 tons apiece. If they had come into the bathtub in with that total mess, they would have shattered it, the subways would have been flooded, everything else, and it didn't happen, which means they didn't come down in their total mass, which means something was converting up into powder, very fine dust.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, you're on with Michael and Jim. Go ahead.
Hello, Michael and Jim. How are you?
Good. It's you. Jim Fetzer, this is Don Nikoloff. He's my weekly co-host on. Usually
Great.
It's Tuesdays. But, yeah, go ahead, Don.
Great show today. You mentioned 9/11 eyewitness, and I have watched that video at least 20 times, both releases of it, and I have to stress that the helicopters that appear from the New Jersey view of what was going on up there on top of the buildings, you can see that 1 second before the buildings collapse, there is a burst of energy visible from the helicopter. And Rick Siegler zoomed in on that very closely. You can see a flash of light take place, which would have pushed the building down. In and of itself, it could pulverize the building alone. But the explosives in there were to assure that the building came down. I would like to also point out that Alfred Weber recently reported that he had talked to an Army intelligence officer that had worked on some physics project, and he claims that Donald Rumsfeld had been researching quantum physics in light of this event since 1971. Do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, well, I'm unaware of that, but Alfred Weber was a speaker at our conference here in Madison, which was held on the 4th and the 5th of this month. And where we were addressing the controversial issues, and I was very impressed with the presentation that Alfred Weber gave. And he told me subsequently how much he had learned from Judy Wood's presentation, and also those by Morgan Reynolds and Ace Baker, and Judy Wood's and Jerry Liepart, too, who was the brains behind the legal move to bring requests for correction to the NIST reports under the Freedom of Information Act, the Data Quality Act, actually, because they've done such sloppy research where their evidence contradicts their conclusions. I don't know about that, but I'm very impressed with Alfred Weber, and if he has turned that up, I think that's fascinating.
Well, yes, I agree with you, and I would like to point out, there are some people that are trying to debunk Rick Siegler's video. In my estimation, it is the most scientific and really revealing video out there in terms of all the anomalies that occur. You see these helicopters flying back and forth, but you don't see that from the Manhattan view of the event. And it raises a lot of questions, plus his analysis, and it's really a forensic analysis of the audio and the video itself, where he slows down the time. He rewinds and shows the event again. He's showing all the anomalies that are occurring on the ground because you can see the smoke rising from ground level in between these buildings. I think Building 6 is one of the buildings described. There's a puff of smoke that comes up from the ground, which supports William Rodriguez's contention that there were explosions going down underneath the building long before the building collapsed.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, Willie, of course, was the last man out of the North Tower. He talked about an enormous explosion at the sub-basement level. It was also witnessed by a couple dozen other custodians who were in a group meeting with him. One of his fellow workers had most of the skin blown off his body. There was a lot of damage to the lobby it was very destructive, and most importantly, Willie observed that this occurred as much as 14 to 17 seconds before, that it occurred before the plane hit the building. So we have two members of scholars who conducted research based on seismographic records maintained by Columbia University and compared them with FAA and radar data and discovered these explosions in the two buildings occurred as much as 14 to 17 seconds.
Got to stop you, Jim. Got to go to a break. Hold the thought, Jim. Hold the thought. We'll be back in three.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour, and I've got caller Don, which is also my weekly co-host, on with Jim Fetzer, who I apologize I had to cut off there for the commercial break to make money, Jim. So go ahead and continue with your thought.
Well, the point I was making is that a couple of members of scholars, Gordon Ross and Craig Furlong, were so struck by what Willie had to say that they undertook an independent investigation. They obtained the records of the seismographs at Columbia University and discovered that they recorded experiences from something happening at the World Trade Center and compared the exact time of their recordings with radar data and FAA data about when the planes hit the buildings and discovered that there was a 14 to 17 second discrepancy, that these events in the sub-basements were taking place as much as 14 to 17 seconds prior to the occurrence of the planes hitting the building. This is so important, they wrote it up and published it, and you can find it on 911scholars.org. It's called Seismic Proof, 9/11 Was an Inside Job. Since their original research, they've tried several times to see if they could reduce that time span and make it more favorable to the government, but they haven't been able to close the gap to more than 10 or 11 seconds. To me, this is some of the most damning evidence that the official account is false and that indeed 9/11 was an inside job.
Don?
I'm inclined to agree. In fact, I go back to Siegel's video. Running concurrently with the video were the radio broadcasts that were being aired at the time. Now, I don't know if that was done in post-production. In other words, somehow they had a recording of the actual radio broadcast. But to hear what was coming over the radio airwaves and hear this in real time with his video presentation, it's very compelling that there were some people in the know and there was definite disinformation being pumped out. I'd also like to add that this bridge collapse in Minnesota, when I viewed the still camera video of this security camera view, the whole bridge moved down flat as a pancake, as if something had stepped on it. And it didn't look like a systematic collapse where, you know, what are the odds that the whole bridge would just all of a sudden just push down into the river? And I would say that that is another example of the same type of weaponry, probably from space or from a craft.
Yeah, a lot of us think there's something very odd about that event, not to mention the one out in San Francisco, Oakland Bay, you know, where that bridge purportedly collapsed and is supposed to burn so intensely, and yet the asphalt didn't even melt. And asphalt melts at a very low temperature compared to steel and so forth. It looks as though there's some funny business going on here. And in the case of the Minneapolis bridge, they put out a military security perimeter to keep people way, way, way away from the crash scene, far, far further away than would need to be if this were a bona fide legitimate occurrence, as the government claims.
Well, they did the same thing at the supposed crash site of Flight 93 as well. In fact, the coroner there, D.B. Kidd, exposed this early on. He interviewed the coroner. His last name is Wallace. I don't remember his first name. The county coroner there in Pennsylvania. And he filed no reports other than some DNA-related report. And the military, the Department of Defense, took over the forensic investigation in terms of autopsy, which was totally ridiculous. The military took control of everything in this.
Yeah.
Jim, just curiosity, back to this hit piece for a moment, because I know they did a wonderful job of just glossing over what you, both you gentlemen were talking about with this seismic proof. In your estimation, Jim, and I assume you've seen at least once, probably more than once, scrutinizing everything, if you could make your way through it without getting sick. But at any rate, do you believe that this video will hurt or maybe help our cause, because there's enough people that are skeptical now that they can look at this and maybe have enough intellect to really start realizing that indeed this is a very slamming hit piece? What is your opinion?
Well, I think that the rebuttals, the so-called experts were flimsy enough that no one is being persuaded by what they have to say. And what that means is a lot of people are being exposed to Building 7 for the very first time. Most of them never even heard of Building 7 before. They're seeing all this video footage of the buildings being pulverized, turned into dust. That's rather stunning just to watch. They're seeing inconsistent stories about what happened at the Pentagon. All the while, they're being assured that there are no serious questions to be raised at the Pentagon. And then out in Pennsylvania, they're seeing this stunning scene of this ditch in the ground that appears to bear no resemblance whatsoever to anything you'd expect to be the result of a plane crash. So I actually believe that it's going to be beneficial to the 9/11 movement, because it's going to lead people to go online and, for example, download Loose Change. I mean, that whole program was like a promotion for Loose Change, and we've got two versions out. We're going to have a third version released here in just a matter of weeks. I think it's going to, create a further surge of interest in 9/11. So on the whole, I consider it to be a plus.
Mm-hmm. Don, you haven't seen it yet, have you? Don?
No, I haven't. The new one, no. If I could ask one more question, and I'll...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm curious about the fact that no one's calling the BBC to the mat on the basis of their half an hour before the fact report that Building 7 had collapsed. In fact, they had a female correspondent right there in Manhattan, and you could see Building 7 in the background while they had already broadcasted that it had collapsed. Why are they not being called to the mat on their complicity in this?
All right, well, let's save that answer for when we get back. We'll be back in three for a long segment. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. We have my special guest, Jim Fetzer, up for the whole show. And I've got Don Nikoloff, who's a weekly host, co-host on my show, that just posed a question to Jim about the BBC and the fact that they were reporting the collapse of Building 7, I think it was, 23 minutes before it happened. Is that right, Don?
Yeah, closer to a half an hour. I think they began at about 4 minutes to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and right at the point where right before the building actually was pulled, to use Silverstein's comment, the screen went blank. They lost their connection. Miraculously, that happened at the same moment. But all the while, the reporter was, and she was quite a distance from that area, but you could see Building 7. In fact, the video that came out February 27th on Google showed buildings standing there, and they kept pointing arrows and bringing a crawl across screen. It's still standing. It's still standing, but they were reporting that it had already collapsed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it actually, the report came off at 4:57 from the reporter, which was 23 minutes before the collapse. He's talking about the Solomon Brothers building having collapsed, and that was another name used for Building 7 because Solomon Brothers owned some 30 floors in the building. They'd actually completely reconstructed the inside. It wasn't suitable for their business arrangement, so they actually rebuilt the building within the building, which is just one more indication, one more illustration of how extremely robust was that building. It was actually erected over two enormous electrical generators providing power for lower Manhattan, so it was designed so it would never collapse. It was one of the best built constructed buildings in the history of structural engineering, and the remarks that have been made about it, as though it were somehow flimsy and could have collapsed from these relatively modest fires are completely ridiculous. Claims have also been made that the side of the building was damaged severely by falling debris from the towers, but if that were true, the building would have had an asymmetrical collapse. It would have been gradual, lopsided, one side, not complete, total, and abrupt. As far as the BBC report is concerned, it's an absolutely stunning illustration of what has to be collusion between the intelligence agencies, the mass media, and the American government. There's no other way to interpret or understand it.
Well, there's definitely an international component to it, and it should be dealt with in that manner, I would presume.
Yeah, it's completely shocking. I've got it online. I was just looking for where we have it online. If you go on to 911scholars.org and go to articles and scroll down the articles, you'll come to a section called the BBC/Solomon Brothers/WTC7 fiasco. And I have 16 articles that are related to this. So, Mike, when you were asking about it, yeah, there's been a lot made about it, much by Prison Planet and Alex Jones on their show. Numerous articles there, which I have archived here, InfoWars and so forth. It was really a colossal blunder. I think it ranks right up there with Larry Silverstein talking about how he told the fire commander to pull it. I think it's degree of enormity attaches to this.
What was their explanation for it, though, Jim?
Oh.
Do you know?
Look, they don't have a good explanation for it, Mike. They don't. You know, you can scroll through here and you'll find, well, they'll just... You know, what can they say? You're caught with your pants down, right? You're absolutely caught with your pants down.
Okay, well, that's a good explanation. All right, Don, anything else, buddy?
Well, that's about it. We could go on and on and on, but, it's a great show. I'm glad Jim's bringing all this information forward. Good job, both of you. Keep up the good work.
Well, I'm real glad you called in, Don. That's great.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
Thanks so much.
I find it necessary, Don, to have Jim on my show at least once a month because, you know, he never ceases to amaze me with his research. So
Maybe I can have him on my show sometime soon.
That would be my pleasure, Don. Okay, let me know.
Okay.
I'll guarantee you. It makes for a great audience every time. Yeah, thanks, Don. I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, that was an interesting point. You caught him with their pants down. Yeah, well, I guess they did, didn't they? They caught him with their pants down on that issue, Jim.
Absolutely stunning.
Where do you see this going? I mean, you know, we've got all this stuff, and you're doing the research, and you're looking at every different, you're uncovering every piece of evidence and so forth. In the meantime, you know, the powers that be are in lockstep. We're moving toward, a complete and controlled police state. Bush is passing these presidential orders and so forth with martial law, and it looks like, you know, it could happen at any moment. And
well,
so
you're right. You're right, Mike. In fact, I thought it was going to happen this week. I thought we were going to have.
Are you with me, Jim?
I'm there. We're going to have a terrorist attack on Portland this week when they're having a terrorist drill, a nuclear drill. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Did you say there was an attack on Portland?
There was a drill. There was a nuclear terrorist drill taking place in Portland this week because Portland has withdrawn from the FBI's terrorist awareness program and is the only city out of 1,000 to have done so. And because Representative Pete DeFazio was on the Homeland Security Committee for the House of Representatives and had asked to see the archive, the appendices that explain how the country is going to be governed after the next terrorist attack or natural disaster suspends the Constitution, and was refused access to that information, it seemed to me Portland was a prime target, especially when they're conducting this North American Union meeting up in Canada at the same time. So I thought it would be a wonderful distraction.
Well, you know, we hear the war drums beating, and I've heard, Michael Chertoff, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, Rick Santorum, all these people are coming out and, you know, beating the drums and saying, well, we need another terrorist event, blah, blah, blah. I think it was Rick Santorum that said, well, you know, a year from now we have another terrorist event and that'll get the American people, not verbatim, but that'll get the American people in line and they'll switch their position on the war and so forth. So, you know, and then we've heard these rumors about the fact that the Congress is adjourned for the month of August and it could happen then. And is all of this just fear-mongering in your mind, Jim? Or,
No. I think that, you know, they've laid all the foundation they need to create a military state. They have placed the National Guard of all 50 states directly under control of the president, even though it was opposed by all 50 governors. They have undermined Posse Comitatus, which was a prohibition against the military performing police functions. Look at Katrina as an illustration. You have a natural disaster, and yet the Louisiana National Guard, which is trained to cope with these natural disasters, is off in Iraq killing people, and the 82nd Airborne, which is trained to kill people, is in New Orleans. What's wrong with this picture? They're creating these mercenary armies, Mike, that is quite frightening. Blackwater and other mercenary armies represent nearly as many troops in Iraq today as we have on the ground. The Army and the Marine Corps are complaining that the military is having its back broken by these constant rotations. And now I discover in an article that just appeared this last Saturday in the local newspaper that the police across the country can't get enough ammunition to conduct their own practice firings and are having to resort to paintball guns. Well, that's absurd. There's a complete difference between police ammunition, which is mostly .38-based and .357 Magnum-based ammunition, and the kind of 7.62 and other calibers that are being used by the military. There's no reason in the world why there should be a shortage of police ammunition unless it's being done deliberately. You know, I've always assumed, Mike, that because we're the most heavily armed nation in the world, that would be our last bastion of freedom against tyranny. But if they're drying up the source of ammunition, all those weapons won't do us any good in resisting a federal takeover. So it seems to me to be a very clever ruse. And get this now. Just yesterday, I was sent a report that a military unit, an air defense unit, is being sent to Washington for a year-long deployment to protect the Washington area from air attack. Now, what in God's name is supposed to justify that? What kind of threat would warrant bringing these people up and stationing them in Washington for a year? Something very strange is going on here.
Well, I tell you, and it's funny you should mention that, because I originally, when I first came on the network, I had one of my first guests was a fellow by the name of Larry, came up, and you know, he had a show. Larry called me yesterday. And he wants to come up. I scheduled him for next week. But on the subject of this ammunition, I had been putting off going to a gun show and buying ammunition. It's funny that Larry called me yesterday, and he told me that he was at a gun show just last week, and he cannot buy any ammunition. And he has several members of the police department that are friends of his, and they're complaining that they can't buy it either. Well, so, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just ask yourself, Mike, isn't that absurd? Can you imagine? Does anyone know, you know, the profit margin in ammunition? It's huge. I mean, that's why these armament industries, you know, are such a thriving one, and yet Americans can't get ammo for their weapons? Something's wrong.
Exactly. All right, well, let's take a call, Jim. Let's go to George in Florida. George, you're on with Michael and Jim. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello,
yeah,
George.
We're here.
Yeah, I have a real problem, like I say, with this, if Bush helped. Like I said, Rick Santorum always said, oh, they'll change their opinion about the war after an attack or whatever. But I don't see it that way, because we got this southern border that's wide open. We got a government that goes and persecutes border agents for doing their jobs. We got drugs coming across. We got police and Border Patrol being fired at by Mexican military crossing the border. And the thing is, I don't really think the public's going to warm up to George Bush this time in the next terror attack, because they've been screaming to secure that border, which he has refused to do so. And I don't really think this martial law and these police state tactics is going to go like a lead balloon, because that's southern border.
Jim?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the argument is. I think it's you know, you raise an interesting question about the complete failure to secure the borders. And, of course, this man, as our security president, is nothing but a sick joke. I mean, national security has three foundations. One is economic security, and he's run up the biggest deficits in history. The war itself is going to run us $1 trillion, even $2 trillion more. So he's shattered our economic security. Our military strength is our second support for national security, and the military is being broken by this constant rotation in and out of Iraq. And the third is our moral standing, and our moral standing in the eyes of the world, which in the past has been our greatest source of safety and security, has been completely inverted. So now that instead of being both the most admired and respected nation in the world, we are the most despised and reviled.
But I'm just saying, that southern border of being an event of an attack, like you say, that refusal of the southern border, I got to say, I just don't see the public warming up to Bush. And for those people up in the Northeast that said nobody should be owning a gun, I mean average citizens, I say when this martial law comes down, Boston, New York, New Jersey, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles are all going to be locked down and people sitting ducks because they can't defend themselves.
Well, I think we've got to start recycling our old ammo, Mike. I think that anyone out there who has the ability to recycle ammunition ought to get to it. I think that they have deliberately strangled our access to ammunition, so a Second Amendment becomes meaningless if you can have weapons but not have any ammunition to use with those weapons. And if we're going to stay free, I'm afraid we're going to have to use the weapons that are available to us. I think the government is setting us up for a big fall here.
Right, yeah. No, and as far as the borders being open, the borders are open by design. And what we're speaking right here, George, is that, you know, we're talking about, you know, the distinct possibility and most likely the probability of another terrorist attack on our soil by design so they can implement martial law. Either that or a total economic collapse, which that's teetering on the horizon as well. Jim, you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, George?
Yeah.
Anything else, George?
I'm just saying, I just don't really think the public's going to warm up to Bush like they did at 9/11.
Because my point is that they don't really have to warm up to him. If there's another terrorist event or there's an economic collapse and he puts the hammer down with martial law, it doesn't matter whether they warm up to him or not. Because
you're right, Mike, because Bush has revised the presidential directive for responding to some new attack or national emergency where he's in the position to determine whether it is or isn't a national emergency. In Presidential Directive 51, he now has direct control of the whole country if he chooses to exercise it. It doesn't even require Congress to concur.
And that's why I am Gus Bilirakis, who's a member of the Homeland Security. He's going to be pushing that for the committee to go see those documents, not just Fazio, but because that committee believes they should have oversight over that directive.
Well, I'm with Mike that this could happen very soon, and the fact that this unit has been displaced to Washington is very, very troubling. What are they doing? You know, going to protect the White House from American pilots who are trying to do something to take out the president? I mean, it's all very bizarre.
Well, I kind of know it. I live near McDill Air Force Base, and I tell you one thing, the lights are on and that place is busy. And that's where the Middle East operations is, so it can go either way. It's a game that they keep you guessing. Where's it going to come from?
Well, of course, they've been talking about attacking Iran, and Dick Cheney has been pushing an attack on Iran. And if it happens, it's going to be catastrophic. The Iranians have very sophisticated short-of-ship missiles that, in my judgment, could take out every ship we have in the Persian Gulf or the Mediterranean. And right now, I gather we have 5 carrier groups over there, which is just an astounding amount of military force. So I think the whole situation is very loaded, and it will not surprise me at all if tomorrow we were to wake up and discover that we've attacked Iran. But the consequences could be just enormous. I don't think Russia and China are going to stand by and let us take out Iran. Russia has lost scientists working on their nuclear energy program. China has long-term contracts for Iranian gas and oil. I think that if the United States attacks Iran, it could precipitate a third world war.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think Bush is gone mad. And like I say, the allies of ours are getting very concerned, too, in France, Germany. all these people are getting, all these nations are getting concerned about this because they got interest in that region too.
Yeah.
And rightly so. Now, Jim, let me ask, you know, it's Israel has been pushing or promoting or asking or demanding or, you know, covertly putting pressure on us to attack Iran. And we haven't done so yet. So do you see in the cards the possibility of Israel provoking a strike against them?
Well, that's always possible, Mike, but Israel would rather have the United States do it. You know, I mean, so much of our foreign policy is dictated by Israel. Even our intervention in the Middle East, which appears to have had multiple motives, one of the most important was to weaken other states that might exercise political influence to rival Israel's. So we're really there in the Middle East for three basic reasons. One is oil. To get that pipeline constructed across northern Afghanistan, where there are now two permanent bases ideally situated to protect it, and where the president of Afghanistan is a former UNICAL oil official, and our ambassador to Afghanistan is another former UNICAL oil official. And, of course, to take control of the Iraqi oil. I mean, the Iraqi parliament has been very low to act on this so-called hydrocarbon law, but the reason is obvious. It would turn some 80% of Iraqi oil over to the transnational oil companies for exploitation. So they should not pass that oil bill. It would be a catastrophe for Iraq and deprive it of most of its own natural resources. And the third reason, of course, is this desire for empire, to create an American empire worldwide with a string of bases all around the world. And by aggressively projecting American power into the Middle East, that geopolitically sensitive area from which it could then be exerted out.
I got to stop you. I'm going to a break. Thanks, George. I appreciate the call. We'll be back in 3 with the final segment.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com, or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
I'm not ready.
back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Final segment coming up here with my special guest, Jim Fetzer. And, Jim, you were on the subject of the possibility of going into Iran here with either us or Israel. So go ahead and continue, sir.
Well, I find it a very scary prospect, but it seems to be something that Dick Cheney is obsessed with. I mean, if there was ever an evil person who was in a prominent position of power in the history of the American government, it's Dick Cheney. I mean, everything he has done has been subversive of constitutional government. He's been promoting the expansion of presidential power. He's the principal advocate of this theory of a unitary executive, which means that the president controls every single function of the government. That it's a recipe for creating a new imperial presidency so that, you know, we once had to fight an American revolution to emancipate ourselves from a tyrannical King George of England, and it now appears we may have to fight a second American revolution to emancipate us from a tyrannical King George of the USA.
Well, it's pretty sad. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that they're hitting us from so many different fronts. We've got this possibility of going into Iran. But, you know, if you look back, Jim, from this, you know, manufactured evidence with weapons of mass destruction to go into Iraq to begin with, this was partly about just massive profits for the military contractors and repayment for, presidential campaign donations and so forth, and also the massive amounts of money that all of these you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a cricket, but what is it? Cockroach. There we go. These cockroaches that are making these massive, enormous amount of money off the death and destruction of other countries, okay? And they're perpetuating this. I mean, if you even want to believe halfway of this tale about Osama bin Laden and they had him cornered in Afghanistan and so forth, every time anybody supposedly gets close, they tell him to stand down because they don't want this to be over. I mean, it's a cash cow for these people, not to mention the, they're talking about the axis of evil, and Iran happens to be, you know, part of the axis of evil. Well, why are the axis of evil? Because they're not in lockstep with the rest of the New World Order? What's your take on that, Jim?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, we have launched these wars of aggression in violation of international law, the UN Charter, and even the U.S. Constitution. We are an army of occupation. Describing those who are opposed to us as an insurgency implies we had the right to be there, which is not true. This is a classic resistance movement. And in fact, the past military commanders there have minimized the role of al-Qaeda. They said it's only the source of about 10% of their problems. Bush, in order to guarantee that there was an al-Qaeda present, actually played the semantical game of defining the a presence there as al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. He just did it as a word game. And just as they're taking, you know, the guard in Iran, its largest military force, and designating it as a terrorist entity. Well, that's completely contrary to the practice of terrorism. Terrorism is not normally state-sponsored and doesn't involve organized armies. It's an irregular activity, typically by persons who can't be easily identified by their weapons or by their uniform with any particular nation.
Do you think we're going in, Jim, at some point?
I think we're going to have an air attack on Iran, and the consequences are incalculable, Mike. I think it's, and I think that about the same time he's going to suspend the Constitution and place the United States under military control, and he's going to enforce it by using these mercenary armies like Blackwater to do it, using our own money to pay them.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of the day, Jim, and I want to thank you again. It's been a pleasure, buddy. You're such a great guest. I'll have you up again in a month or so, and I'm sure you'll have more to say.
Mike, I'll be glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Have a good weekend, buddy. All right. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Jim Fetzer. What a guy. I mean, just a very, very knowledgeable individual. Have a good weekend, folks. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stattmiller coming up. I'm sure he's got a great guest or a lot of information for you. So stick with RBN, and I will see you Monday. Bye-bye.